youth,
creativity,
entrepreneurship. Here is a series of podcasts which testify
the experience of the European project
Atlantic Youth Creative Hubs by those who have implemented it.
This project is co-financed by the European Regional Development Funds
through the Interreg Atlantic Area Programme.
Network.
Opportunity.
European.
14 partners.
5 countries.
Here we are. Welcome to a new episode talking about H Project, Atlantic Youth Creative Hubs. This podcast series has been recorded during the COVID-19 situation. Today we are in Devon, in the south coast of United Kingdom. We are going to meet Dan and Richard, who are the AYCH coordinator at Space Youth Service. Hello Dan, hello Richard. Thank you for having us.
My name's Dan Barton. I work for Space Youth Service. We're in Devon, which is in the south coast of the UK.
I'm Richard Doak. I work for Space as well. I'm the lead on the AYCH project. So I'm doing the face-to-face delivery, also working behind the scenes on the project. And I am an electronic musician.
What is Space?
We are a youth service, which in the UK really is predominantly around providing universal open access opportunities for young people, teenagers primarily. So our age range traditionally as a youth service is around 11, 12, 13 year olds up to about 18 or 19.
And what are you doing concretely?
We do attract young people who are generally have some form of vulnerability. I think there's about 35% of our membership have got protected characteristics. That basically means their status is protected by law. So they're either in care of the state, or they are have disabilities or something along those lines. So our general work, most of our work, revolves around building kind of support for those young people that need it at that time.
How did the AYCH project start with Space?
We were nervous, I'll be honest. When I saw the agreement, because it was a previous colleague actually who set it up, and it was set up in slightly different times. In the UK, we've had quite a few years of austerity and public services have been cut, and youth services actually are one of the things that's been cut very dramatically. So we'd lost about 32 of our youth centres. We had about 140 youth workers made redundant and lost their jobs. So it came at a really difficult time in that we were kind of retreating a little bit into what we knew very well, which was kind of crisis management. And our relationships are generally with kind of social workers and people in the youth justice. So young people who have criminal activity, that kind of stuff. So our networks and our skill base and our efforts, if you like, are generally in that realm. You know, so we have very good relationships with these professionals. What we don't do historically very well is work with businesses or entrepreneurship or creative industries, universities, that kind of thing. Because although obviously we have a universal service for all young people, like I was saying, we generally meet the young people that are not necessarily destined for those routes in their life. Quite scary for me to think about what AYCH would bring for us, because it definitely wasn't in our comfort zone at all. I'm so glad that we went for it. I mean, we really, really benefited from the project. It's been incredible.
Something to add, Richard?
Our learning, coming from a kind of a field that didn't really engage in the sort of technologies and business sector, I think we had to think on our feet fairly fast. So in the early days of the project, I did an awful lot of networking around Devon. To give it some context, we have 3 creative hubs, none of which are based in the city. They're all based in small rural towns. On a local level, they're very spread out. So you're looking at about an hour and a half drive between 2 hubs. So with that ambitious approach to creating not only one hub but 3 hubs, and in the rural spaces. It was a real sort of hard job to kind of connect businesses that were connected to the cities, that were connected to the kind of wider area, to these smaller rural areas.
And what kind of young people are you working with?
Again, the young people that we're working with, you know, haven't been exposed to this. Certainly the language of AYCH and the business language, this is all new to them. So having to think about how I word it, how I present it, and also how you then involve business in what is essentially a rural area. Again, the type of working we do is outside of business hours. So we work predominantly in the evenings with young people. So to get those guys on board and to support it, again, was challenging. But as we've grown, as we've started to build relationships with business partners, it's become easier and we've started to create a workflow from it. So,
what is a bad experience for you?
Well, there isn't really, to be honest with you. I think Dan sort of covered it, the introductory question, really. The young people that have potentially sort of protective characteristics, they are generally disenfranchised young people. So they've potentially struggled with schooling or have not gone any further than school, haven't gone into sort of the college education. You know, they have these rural towns that they live in, which are remote, disconnected from the cities. The infrastructure in Devon in terms of bus and train isn't very well connected. So the north of Devon to the south of Devon, there isn't a good infrastructure for joining the two together. So for young people in the north, then that's Exeter, the main city, is a long, long way and maybe a visit once a year even potentially. So
did you sometimes have difficulties with young people, language problems, for example?
It wasn't unusual, and it still isn't unusual, for Rich to turn up to a session which was based around intellectual property or something, and we might have lined up a business expert to, you know, deliver something for the group. And then you arrive at that youth club and you find chaos because one of the young people had been at a party at the weekend and they drank too much, and then someone else had been assaulted or something on the way home. And so you basically just need to park everything. And you think, okay, well, I was going to talk about how you could launch your entrepreneurial business, but I guess I need to talk about your life, you know. And I think what we've got, our bread and butter, if you like, the work that we do daily is really about providing a space for those young people to have those conversations. And they're not necessarily always developmentally ready for anything else. And you need to kind of retreat back into your core business in order to do, you know, the thing that then, you know, propels. And I guess what Rich and I, the reason Rich and I really enjoy this project is because we've got a history together over the last 10, 15 years of actually designing things that push young people outside of that comfort zone. When they think they can't achieve, or when they're like, oh, I'm useless, I'm never going to be able to do anything, I can't. Projects like this give them that opportunity. It raises a horizon. It makes them think, well, actually, you know what? There is something if you could just see it. You know, as long as you can see the tip of the mountain, right, you can make the steps towards it. But if you can't even see the mountain in the distance, you don't really know where you're going. And a project like AYCH for us, in our environment, for those young people, just tip of the mountain, they can just see there is something as long as they keep on walking, you know.
So, does the AYCH project help your young people?
It's not without, like I said, it's difficulties, but I think with the techniques of youth working coupled with the philosophy of the AYCH project, I think that's where the two meld. And that's, it's been very interesting developing, you know, the language. So what you will hear now in some of our AYCH impact stories from young people explaining their journey through the project, you'll start to notice actually some of them are starting to use that business language. They're starting to use the words like incubation, which was a word that may have never been heard of at the beginning of this project. You can see the incremental steps. You know, they've really got hold of it. It's become part of their life. It's become part of their day-to-day thinking. For others, you know, they've passed through. They've had their journey. They've experienced something. They've got something back from the project, and they'll take that forward. What we see inside of youth work in general is we don't always see the fruits of our labor. So the impact that we have on a young person now may not actually manifest itself until much later in their lives. We have young people that have been impacted by the project, but actually, in terms of the worldview that they've now got, that will not really maybe show itself to a little bit later in their lives, being that they are that little bit younger inside of what is a project that does have a very broad age range. We are at the very bottom end of that broad age range. So,
what is the goal with them?
The goal really was to, again, this is new territory for our youth service. So we haven't really ventured into business support, business startup. We've always had projects, and there's been a similar philosophy going on, but never around kind of very specific, like, here's the journey, here's the steps towards, like Dan said, the mountain. You know, we'll present you with the mountain. This is the end goal. We've had similar things happen inside the service, but we've never set out to actually attempt this. And I think by doing that, it's been exciting for not only me as a youth worker to venture into this and explore how we can deliver it, but I think for young people being involved as well, they've got on board. You know, it's not been for all. It's certainly not. For the ones that have got a hold of it and enjoyed the experience, you know, they've stuck around. They've stuck with it. Even in this time of coronavirus, you know, everyone's still on board. We're still working hard. We're still doing incubation. You know, that's testament to it does work for some young people that we work with. And that does show that gives us the evidence to say, well, actually, this service can not only deliver AYCH in the 3-year time period, but there is definitely some legacy that space can carry forward and continue this work into the future. Let's talk about the creative jams to start with. So what you're saying is, yeah, you saw essentially, you know, a fun event. So we've always used, or the thinking was at the beginning, certainly, creative jams is essentially, you know, fun events, and they are a springboard to maybe encouraging young people into incubation. What Space is as an organization is a group work organization. So we work with groups of young people. It was never really about individuals with a business idea going through a business process to come out ready to go with a business. This was about bringing groups together, socially working up an idea, and then keeping that momentum going, saying, not only did you do a 2-day creative jam where you met somebody for the first time, you joined a group, you came up with an idea in that group, and you fulfilled the 2-day process by presenting that idea in a cohesive way. So that's the creative jam. The springboard from that is to then encourage the young people enjoyed that weekend or 2-day event into then continuing on that journey. And Unpicking was essentially a 2-day intensive version of an incubation. And then to allow that to be free-flowing and youth-led. So if we get now to the incubation, the model that we use in our service as youth work in general is it's young person-led. So they set the challenge and they manage the time. And that time isn't prescribed. So it's not like you've got 6 weeks to come out of the other end knowing this. And on Tuesday, you will do this part of the incubation. On Thursday, you'll do this part of the incubation.
But you must have volunteers for that, Nat.
It couldn't be that. It's not the type of work we do. Young people volunteer their time for this. So with that voluntary engagement, it has to be a little more free-flowing. We have to work with the young people at the levels that they're at that time. So the incubation itself, I designed around a model that was agreed by AYCH that these criteria were accepted as an incubation, and if you tick these boxes, you'd incubated. But I knew that with the type of working that we have to do and we're doing, it was a case of creating something more around that, giving time to young people to basically grow as a group and to fall out, to figure out, to work together, and then to be a proper team. And that development time can ebb and flow. So we can work together, we can be making great progress. Then there's a problem, we go backwards. We start working forwards again, and we get to that point again, and we continue. So knowing that there's that ebb and flow to group work, the incubation was developed around that. So there was time given to what was a spreadsheet that I created, where the young people pick the timeline. They pick their learning time. So they may give 6 months to prototyping. They may feel that they already know what the product is and they want to get straight to the business part. But this document allows that time to be chosen by each individual group or each individual. And it works with their learning capabilities, their learning styles. It's not like we've filled the document in, you must commit to that. It's like, let's revisit the document on a monthly basis and we'll see, did we get to where we wanted to get to? No, we didn't. Okay, well, let's extend that time a little bit. Let's give that a little more time. Or in fact, we've done it, but I didn't really understand it. Okay, so we'll come back and we'll revisit it and we'll put it back in the calendar and we'll come back to that and we'll work it up again. And then by doing that, I think we've developed something very special. I think it's very different to a lot of the way that other partners work. So yeah, I think that's my thoughts. So.
One of the things when we, right at the very beginning of this, I guess one of the outcomes we were hoping to see, certainly how it was presented to us, was could we offer similar opportunities to young people who are on a slightly different trajectory through their life? So could we do it in a community-based environment, which is purely voluntary, on an evening, on a weekend? It's not linked to any formal qualification in any way. It's just, this is the offer for young people to get the same input from an expert, the same knowledge sharing from an expert. Is that something that the youth service could adapt to provide? And I guess what Rich has just explained is the way in which we've had to move both the goalposts. So not only have we had to move our practice and our youth to a slightly more formal way of delivering work, because it's based around a program of an incubation. There are elements of design thinking, there are elements of market research, there are elements of, you know, intellectual property. So there's structure to what we're doing, but we've also had to move the kind of rigid, if you like, time frame of this is a 6 week this and this is a 3 month that, and you know, and we've moved that into the youth work world that doesn't have a beginning and a middle and an end. It's an ongoing process of informal education. And that's exactly what Rich has just described, really, that how both of those worlds have had to both move towards each other rather than one just assimilate towards the other. And by not bending too far, I don't think either one has snapped, but both have had to move a little bit, you know.
Richard, do you agree?
That's the key to youth work, really. You're advocating, you're supporting, you're translating for young people information that can be sometimes very confusing. And to be fair, the language of business is not an easy language to get across. It's been a continual learning process. I don't think that we've fully nailed that right now. I don't think that's completely understood by me. But by listening to the partners, by listening to the language that was being used by AYCH, I'm kind of lost with this question, to be fair.
Dan, please add a word.
I think what happens sometimes is that our services can be, and it may not be true, might be perception, but I think they can be undervalued sometimes into the benefits of having something that isn't set around some kind of structure or kind of visible, you know, output and outcome and that. When businesses want to support a charity like ours, it's generally in a kind of a like a hand, you know, like a handover kind of, it's not like an equitable thing. It's done out a bit of a, oh, you know, poor young people, you know, I'll bless them, I'll give them a little bit of a hand, you know. I guess what we wanted to achieve was actually our young people are absolutely capable and they're absolutely like brilliant in their inventiveness and their, you know, what they don't have just on a plate is the knowledge and the maybe the resilience to just drive forward without concern, because they do have concerns. They're worried about parents, they're worried about siblings. They've got other life stuff that doesn't build the platform for them to just boldly go ahead and set up a, you know, a business or whatever, you know. But that's not to say that they don't have amazing ideas. So there's something about how we could maybe have raised the profile, not just of us ourselves as an organization, but of the young people that we reach, so they it feels more equitable. Really.
What is your advice to work with them?
So some of the language that was being used for incubation, even the word incubation, actually, right there at the beginning, you know, some that language had to be adjusted right from the word go. So to enthuse a young person into getting a project off the go, you know, encouraging them into an incubation, that's a strange word that they've never heard before, is not quite the language you're looking for. You know, let's get your project off the ground and let's make it a reality. That's a language that I understand. So yeah, so and adapting materials as well. So the definitely the materials that are used in the project, the delivery style in a kind of much more informal, relaxed. Certainly through COVID, I don't even start at the beginning of the session with, you know, the project. I start with how is your mental health? And I will speak to each individual, see how they're getting on, see how they're getting on in their life, how they're coping. Then I move to, and how's the project going? Then we start to informally talk around that. And then, you know, I end the session with, okay, so what support do you need? Do you need me to do anything? And you know where I am. I'm on the end of the phone if you need to speak to me before I speak to you next week. And also the other technique is to keep this thing regular, to meet on a regular basis, to keep the momentum, because not only am I the AYCH deliverer, but I am these young people's youth worker. So they will, like Dan said earlier, they will come to me with their problems. They will come to me for advice and support. So that's part of the package that is being delivered here. It's not just this AYCH vision of an incubation. It's a person's story. It's a person's journey. And it's very much another network of support that can benefit their lives.
What is your best memory of this project?
Best memory? Well, an immediate memory is I am incredibly impressed with how well young people have coped with the COVID situation here in the UK inside of the AYCH project. We didn't stop for a second. We didn't lose a week. So with funding, we've invested heavily in equipment, laptops. We've invested in technology, which is new to the service, which is new to us. And what you have to remember is that some of the young people working inside of this project don't have a laptop. They come to the youth centre and they use our equipment. We have always been of the mind that actually, if you need to take that equipment home, then it's for the journey of your project. You can take what you need and we'll support you in that. So there's a loan system. So as the COVID situation started to appear, I started to speak to all of my incubation groups, right? What equipment do you need? What technology can you take home? And so, yeah, so young people have got 3D scanners at home. They've got laptops. They've got SLR cameras. They've got all the tools they need to continue working. And we just moved to the online platform and we went from 1 week working in the youth centre to the following week working online. And the adjustment in that has been flawless, absolutely flawless. There has literally been, you know, not a second where it's been a problem for any of the participants, which I think is quite incredible. because I, you know, the service itself, we had to rethink how online delivery would work. But because of the ability of AYCH to be flexible, in the certainly in youth work terms, we're flexible workers, I'm really, really impressed with how that worked. And I think there's a model in that for the future. I think, you know, we could certainly, as we come back to the youth centres and people can't make a session, I could certainly say, well, can you now come online? Because it wasn't something I'd really thought about before. But other parts of the project, you know, I'm just really impressed with the young people, their staying power, their enthusiasm, their ideas. It's testament to some of the videos that have been created of their story. And I think, you know, I think every single one of them has had a journey of differing degrees. And it's not easy to pick out one particular one, because I think they're all valid and I think they're all quite amazing, really. So, yeah.
And you, Dan, do you have a particular memory to share?
We were talking about journeys. Just the traveling has been incredible. I mean, we've taken young people abroad for the first time in their life. You know, they never would have gotten the opportunity to go and meet people from, you know, I mean, some of them have been up to London even, you know, and seen kind of people that don't kind of look like them or think like them or behave like them. So even just on a very basic kind of human level, it's just been incredible to just connect with everyone and just try to achieve this thing, you know, across different countries and different types of young people, different interests. You know, I can just remember some of those. Well, I remember when we went to Lugo, the first evening, we ended up chasing one of our young people around the town because he was freaking out and he wanted to go home, and he was on the phone to his mum for an hour and a half. And, you know, just things like that are just moments that, you know, are going to stick with those young people. And that at that moment, it was nothing to do with business support or incubation. You know, it was a very human thing about going outside your comfort zone, about trying something and about getting freaked out and then learning from it, you know. And that in itself is valuable. And I'm just really glad that AYCH is also open to those kind of experiences for young people. And it wasn't just all about, you know, right, let's just drive them through this program. You know, I've been part of other programs where it's how shiny we can make it look. And quite frankly, it doesn't really matter if any young people are, let's just push the agenda. And AYCH doesn't feel like that. And that's why those young people can go abroad for the first time and have that incredible experience and then just have a great time, you know.
I will add to that, from that very experience, some of those young people are still in contact with other young people that they met from across Europe from that first event. So I do know for a fact that there's a group that still talk together on social media. So again, that's testament to the journey. You know, it's just really opening horizons, which is, it's been really incredible to watch.
What is your last advice?
Oh, me first, sorry. I was waiting for Rich to go first. Tips, okay. I guess be brave, I guess would be the first one. The differences between how we were approaching it or what our, I think it was difficult at the beginning. So I guess anyone who's thinking of doing a program like this, I would just be thinking about looking at what the end goal is. So like we talk about that mountain analogy, you know, it's fine to define the mountain, but let's not necessarily choose the path that we have to get there. You know, maybe some people are going this way, some will go around that way. And so just being brave to make some decisions that not necessarily, you know, feel like they'll be welcomed by the whole partnership all the time. Just be a bit brave to go out there a little bit, I think.
You know, speak to the participants, learn from them, work with them, let them guide you. Don't think that this has to be a prescribed journey. Just enjoy every moment of it. And if you get stuck, give me a call.
You know, you're kind of pretending a bit, you know, and you're going to get caught out at some point. And someone's going to know to go, hang about, what are these guys doing here? You know, so we do still have a, maybe not so much now, but certainly for the first year or so, we were thinking, oh, are we going to be able to pull this off? So it really genuinely is, it feels great to hear that you had a good time, yeah. And you can see what we're trying to do, you know. It's like, oh, okay, that makes
and
it
we,
so
we've
much
also,
better.
We've also ended up as the last youth project still in this project. So at the beginning, I was thinking, but there's two other youth services involved in this. Yeah. And, you know, I was thinking that actually we would learn together. We'd be able to feed off of each other. Whereas, you know, maybe a university or colleges, it would be harder for me to adapt that information. You know, the youth services would work together. But as they dropped away from the project, you know, it was very much left to me, really, to be the voice, basically, for the young people that are inside of this project, but also to really try and figure out, you know, what is good youth practice inside of this type of environment. So I felt like a weight on my shoulders throughout this project, where it's like, actually, this does sit on me now for the voice of the younger generations inside of this project. So yeah, I feel proud of that, and I will be proud of what we've achieved in the 3 years.
Thank you very much, Dan and Richard. And thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find more information about the AYTH project on our platforms. See you next time for a new episode.
Youth.
Creativity.
Entrepreneurship.
Network.
Opportunity.
European.
14 partners.
5 countries.
Atlantic Youth Creative Hubs.
Le but, c'est d'ouvrir les horizons du possible.